向三方面的人来致谢。第一个就是教会的牧师，还有团契负责人张景松弟兄。
And second, I'd like to thank Joseph Ho, who has done a wonderful job of researching not only missionaries in China, but a lot about my family, many things that I didn't even know myself.
其次呢，我就要特别感谢我们的贺弟兄，因为他不单是在探讨这个研究中在美国在中国的宣教士的工作呢，还特别对我自己的家庭有很深入的研究，有他发掘出了一些我自己本来都不知道的事情。
And finally, I'd like to thank Harry Lewis's father and mother for many reasons.
那么第三呢，我要特别感谢 Harry Lewis 他的父母亲。那么我感谢他们的父母亲呢，有许多不同的原因。
As Joseph mentioned, when I was very small, I was in a Japanese prison camp, and that was the same camp where Dr. Lewis, Harry's father, also was stationed.
就正如刚才贺弟兄所提到的，当我还小的时候呢，我跟这个Harry Lewis 的父亲一起在山东潍县的这个集中营里面度过一段时间。
So he and his wife were my uncle and aunt, and for all our life we called him Uncle Lewis.
那么他的父母亲呢，对我来讲就好像我的这个伯伯一样，伯伯跟伯母，所以我这一辈子都叫他的父亲叫我的伯伯。
Many years later, my wife and I lived and worked in Thailand, and who should we meet but Ralph and Roberta Lewis?Who were working in Thailand at the same time.
那么很多年以后呢，我跟我的妻子到了泰国去工作，就没想到在那里也居然会遇上了这个 Harry Lewis 他的父母亲。
So when my wife was sick, Dr. Lewis took care of her. When we had our first baby, Mrs. Lewis came to our house and helped us to take care of a little baby.
所以当我们有病的时候呢，我这个伯伯呢，他就来为我们医病。当我的妻子生孩子的时候呢，我的伯母呢跑过来来帮我们照顾我们的孩子。
And finally, Mrs. Lewis played the cello, my wife played the violin. So many times they made beautiful music together.
那么还有就是这个这位伯母 Mrs. Lewis 她会弹这个大提琴。那么我的妻子呢就是弹小提琴，所以他们两个人常常就合奏出很多很美妙的音乐。
So looking back on my life, there are many people that I feel grateful to.
我回顾自己的一生呢，发现到说有很多人我是需要很深的去感谢他们。
Tonight I want to briefly talk about three time periods of my life.The first is 1949 during liberation. The second is 1979 when I lived and worked in China. And the last was recently, 2009, when I decided to write a book about our life in China.
那么今天晚上呢，我要跟各位分享三段我自己生活的这个阶段。第一个就是1949年，当我们在这个集中营那个时候，其次呢就是1979年，当我回到中国，在中国又工作了一段时间，最后就是2009年，当我决定要写一本书来写出记录出我的这个在中国的记忆。
So the theme is Wan Gu Zhi Xin. From the past, you know, we learn about new things. We understand the new.
所以今天的主题呢，就是温故知新。
So 1949, I was 11 years old.
1949年的时候，我只有11岁。
And it was in Canton, and Lin Biao, General Lin Biao, and his forces were moving to attack Canton and to occupy Canton.So that all of China would be united.
那一年的时候，我住在广州。那么那一年，也就是林彪带着这个军队来要占领广东的那一年，那么就完成了他们占领整个中国的这个军事行动。
For many nights, my sisters and I would watch the night sky and see the explosions as the PLA came closer and closer.
那么每天晚上我跟我的妹妹们都可以从窗口看到外面的漆黑的天上的都有很多这种炮弹爆炸的这种的闪光，就是让我们看着，让我们可以看得出来解放军越来越靠近城市，越来越靠近我们居住的地方。
One day it became very quiet, and that morning my mother and father called me and my two sisters into their bedroom to talk about something very serious.
但是有一天呢，就是突然间变得很静啊，极静。那么我记得我父母亲就把我们叫到他们房间里面去，还跟我的两个妹妹们一起，还要跟我们讲一件很严肃的事情。
I was very worried because I thought my mother and father would criticize me for something bad I had done to my little sisters.
我一开始的这个印象是我很担心，说我以为我父母亲要责怪我，或许我对我的两个妹妹做了一些不该做的事情。
They said that night the PLA had captured Canton.And my father and mother decided to stay in China because they felt there was still much more work to do.
他们所说的就是前一天晚上，这解放军已经占领了广州，但是我的父母亲他们决定还是要继续留在中国，因为他们觉得中国还有很多未完成的事情。
So my sisters and I told my parents, "Oh, we know that because every night we've been seeing the battles."
那我的妹妹其实说，其实我们也已经知道解放军已经来了，因为每天晚上我们都可以看得见这些炮火越来越逼近。
The Sunday morning we walked to church. We always walked about 5 kilometers to the church, which was on Chamian Island.
每个星期天早上呢，我们大概要走5公里的路去教堂。
As we crossed this little bridge onto the island.The PLA soldiers were coming the opposite way with their guns and their backpacks.
那么这个教堂是在一个小小的岛上面。那么我记得那天早上，当我们要过桥，要去到那个小岛的时候呢，对面迎面而来的就是解放军的军队，他们手上拿着枪，背上背着背包。
At first, we thought, well, maybe we would be their enemies because we were Americans.But they were almost all from Shandong, so my father and mother could speak to them, and they immediately started talking about missing Shandong food and how terrible the weather was in Canton.
我们的直觉上以为说他们会把我们当成敌人，因为我们是外国人，但是没想到这些迎面来的这些解放军都大都是从山东来的，那么我父母亲就很快能够跟他们谈上山东的这个家乡的食物，还有讲到山东的气候多好，那么这广州的气候多么糟糕。
There, on the opposite side of the wall, there was a group of soldiers, and in the afternoon, my sister and I would sit on the wall, and my sister and I would teach them English songs.
那么在那个教堂的对面一个墙上呢，有的时候一些解放军就会坐在这个墙上面，那我跟我的妹妹就跑过去教他们英文。
As you know Chinese history, the wind blows one way one day, and the next day it blows the opposite way.
你大家也许都知道，在中国的历史上面，这个政治的变化是一天是一个方向，另外一天又是另外一个方向。
So you can understand that pretty soon my father was accused of being an American spy.And all of our family was kept in the house. We were kept as prisoners in our own house.
所以这个一开始的很友善的日子也过了没有多久以后呢，我们就被指控为这个美国的这个间谍，所以我们全家呢就被软禁在我们的屋子里面，不准出外。
Finally, after about a year, my father was and mother were given permission to leave China.And so we left, and I thought I would never be able to go back to my homeland.
那么大概一年之后呢，我们才有了许可，可以再回到美国。那么当我们离开的时候呢，我自己心目当中以为我永远没有办法再回到我的家乡了。
So 30 years later, 1978, at Christmas time, I got an invitation from the Chinese government to go teach linguistics for 1 year in China.
但是没想到三十年之后，是1978年的这个圣诞节的期间，我收到中国政府给我的一封邀请信，叫我到中国去教语言。
And so my wife and I lived there in Tianjin for 1 year, and also traveled to all the places I lived as a little boy.
And so, 所以我就跟我太太就回到天津，在那里住了一年多，同时也借了那个机会呢，去到所有我们曾经去过的地方。
For example, I got special permission to go to Jining, my hometown, and I stood in the room where I was born, in the house where we lived.
比方说我们得到特别的许可，能够回到这个济宁市去，而且我会能够进到那个我自己出生的那个房间里面去。
We met many remarkable people that year, but I just want to talk briefly about two of them.
在那年中间呢，我们也遇见了许许多多很特别的人物，但是我想提其中两位。
At that time, it was still very difficult for Chinese people to interact and talk with us without special permission.
我在那个时候呢，即使中国居民仍然需要一些特殊的许可呢，才能够跟我们这些外国人能够很自由的沟通交谈。
But one teacher, his name was Wang Zhanmei, came and talked to us many times and helped my wife, who was doing research on her PhD dissertation.
但是有一个特别的有一个女孩子呢，她因为她要做一些博士的研究的这个关系呢，她常常来找我的妻子来跟她谈话。
王老师 became a very good friend, and we learned all about his interesting life.
那么这位王老师就成为我们很好的朋友，而且从他身上我们也能够很深入的了解到他的一生。
He graduated number one in his class from Nankai University.
他从南开大学第一名毕业生。
But because his father was a capitalist roader, he was never given a prominent position at any university.
但是因为他的父亲呢，算是一个资本家，所以呢，他从来没有办法得到一些比较好的一个职位。
I last saw him in 1991 when I visited him in Tianjin.
1991年的时候呢，我在天津又见到他。
He died a few years later of a heart attack, but I think his life was so painful, he really died of a broken heart.
那么几年之后呢，他就因着心脏病而过世，但是我总感觉到说，因为他有了一个很痛苦的人生，所以他可能是因着心碎而死的。
The second person I want to talk about is a much happier story.
那么第二个人我要所提的呢，是会比较圆满的一个故事。
His name was Pastor Liu, and he was, before liberation, the pastor of a large church in Tianjin.
那么这个是一个刘牧师，那么他是在这个解放之前呢，在天津一个很大的教会的一个牧师。
For 30 years, he worked in very bad jobs and was often, was sent to the countryside as punishment as a Christian pastor.
那么因为他是一个基督徒的牧师呢，所以这三十年中间呢，他就经历了很多不是很好的遭遇，而且被下放作为一种这个作为一种这个惩罚。
He, towards the end of our stay in Tianjin, he came to our hotel and he was very excited.
但是当我们快要离开天津之前呢，他来到我们所住的旅馆呢，他非常的兴奋。
He said, The government has given permission for Christian churches to open again. Would you like to come to our first Christian church service in Tianjin in many, many years?
他说我们刚刚才得到中国政府的许可、啊、这个、许可这个基督教的教堂可以重新开始公开的聚会，那么你愿不愿意到我们的教会里面来参加第一次，就多年以来第一次能够公开的聚会。
So on our last Sunday in Tianjin in 1979, we went to the first worship service and worshiped with our Chinese brothers and sisters.
所以在1979年，当我们要离开之前的最后一个主日呢，我就在这个天津的教会里面，第一次啊，在这么多年以来第一次能够跟我们的中国的这个弟兄姐妹们一起来敬拜神聚会。
So Pastor Liu was a very brave and wonderful man.Like so many Christian pastors in China today.
那么就如同许许多多的这个一直到今天，很多的这个牧师传道人在中国，那么这位刘牧师就是像这样一个非常有勇气的一位人。
Finally, I'd like to talk about 2009, 30 years later.
那么我现在要讲到再三十年，就到2009年的时候了。
When my wife and I returned to the United States in 1980. My wife said, "You must promise me that you will write a book about your life in China."
当1980年当我们回到美国的时候呢，我的太太要求我说，你一定要答应我说，要把你在中国一生你所经历到的所有事情都要把它记录下来。
So I made that promise. I said.When I retire at 70, I will write this book for you.
那么当时我答应他说，等到我70岁退休的时候呢，我就要开始着手进行写这本书了。
Frankly, that seems so far away. I thought I would be dead by then.
当时呢，我以为说那个还是遥遥无期，可能到那个时候我都已经被主接去了。
So unfortunately, I lived to 70, and in 2009, I had to write this book.
但是不幸的是，到了2009年，我70岁的时候，我还活得好好的，所以我必须要写这本书。
So I sat down to write it, and at first I was very frustrated, because I thought, now I'm retired. I shouldn't be sitting in front of the computer for hours and hours writing.
当我刚开始写的时候呢，我心里确实是有点懊恼，就是我觉得说我已经退休的话，我不应该继续坐在电脑前面，每天好几个钟头的时间花在这个上面
啊。Even though I took many notes and had records, I still thought it was 30 years ago, 1979. I should have written it earlier. I shouldn't have waited so long.
那虽然说我也曾经留下了很多的笔记，或者说是一些记录。那么但是我当时就有点后悔，说其实当三十年之前，1979年的时候，我就应该就开始写一些东西，免得我现在好像有点忘记了。
But then I thought of the Chinese saying, 三十年河东，三十年河西。
然后我又想起来中国这句话是 you know, 30 years east of the river and 30 years west of the river.
So, 1979 was the middle. In 1949, I saw the revolution. In 1979, I lived in China. From 49 to 79, the river flowed east. China was closed to the world.
那我就想起来，就是从1949年，当我亲眼看见中国的这个革命的时候，从1979年到1949到1979是三十年，这三十年呢，这河水是向东流的，那么中国是对外是封闭的。
But 1979, China pivoted like a boat in the river turning, and started heading westward, opening up to the world and becoming a world power.
但是1979年开始呢，中国就整个政策就好像是一个船在河中间转一个方向，掉头航向，是向开始向西去走，对外来开放，一直到今天成为一个世界上的一个强国。
So, thanks to this Chinese proverb, I wrote a book called The Year China Changed.
所以因为这一句中国谚语的关系呢，我就将我的书的名字就定名为中国变化的那一年。
I brought copies of the book which you can buy for $20, and all the money will go to this church.
那么我在外面有很多有带了一些书来，我们是用20块钱卖一本书，那所有的卖的钱呢都捐给教会。
For me, the most important part of any talk is a chance to have questions and answers.
对我来说呢，每一次我要做这种的演讲的时候呢，我最喜欢的就是跟各位下面在座的有一点这个问答的时间。
So we have a few minutes, and I would be very happy to answer or to try to answer any questions that you might have.
现在我们既然还有一点时间呢，或许我们可以看看各位有什么问题，我可以尝试着来回答你的问题。问题是说他有没有他还记不记得小时候，特别是年幼的时候，大概是7岁、8岁、9岁的时候的一些记忆。
Yes, I have many memories, starting with the Japanese prison camp. One day, a Japanese soldier took me outside the camp and let me play with his rifle.
那么我的记忆里面包括了在这个潍县集中营里面的事情。那么我记得有一天有一个日本军兵把我带到这个营外面去，让我来玩，让我玩他的步枪。
And of course, being a little boy, 4 years old, it was very exciting, even though he was my enemy and kept me in prison.
当然，既然是一个四岁的小孩子，我当然即使是这个军人是好像我的敌人，但是也是好玩的心。
Looking back on that memory, I wonder if he had a four-year-old boy in Japan and missed his son.And I wonder if he ever got back to Japan to see his family again, because many soldiers were killed.
当我回想这件事情的时候呢，我不禁的会去想到，或许这个日本兵呢，当他自己也有一个四岁的孩子在留在日本的家中，那我也在那边猜想，不晓得他有没有能够生还，能够回到家里面再见到自己的孩子。
It's difficult to love your enemies when you're adult.But when you're a little boy, it's a little bit easier.
作为成年人，好像我们很难去爱我们的敌人。但是作为小孩子呢，爱我们的敌人似乎并不是一件困难的事情。
Okay. Any other questions?
Would you mind giving us a little preview of the thesis of your book?
Oh, okay.
他的问题是说，可不可以很简单的把他所写的这本书的中心思想说一说。
I'm not a historian, and I'm not a China specialist. My training was in linguistics.
我不是一个历史学者，我也不是一个中国的中国专家。我的本身的训练，我的专业是在语言学上面。
But because I waited 30 years to write the book, all the details, all the events that I saw, I could look back and see it was historical.
但是因为我等了30年之后才写呢，那么我可以从一个历史的角度去看我所经历到的这一切的所有的事件。
So that's where I got the idea of the year China changed.Because all these little events and experiences that I saw in 79 added up to a very significant change in Chinese policy.
所以我才会将这本书的名字定为中国改变的那一年呢，就是因为有很许许多多的小的事件累积起来，它的累积起来的作用呢，能够造成中国的政策上的一个很重大的变化。
For example, at the end of the summer, we no longer had to use piao to buy meat, cotton, bicycles, and so forth.
就好像说在那一年年底的时候呢，我们就不再需要用一些粮票或者说是一些邮票等等呢去买东西了。
So what happened? The prices started to go up.
那么结果呢就造成了什么？造成了这个物价就上涨。
The government had to respond and raise salaries.
那么政府就必须要提高这个工人的薪资。
So instead of a state-controlled economy, it suddenly became a market-controlled economy.
所以好像很快之间呢，就从一个由政府的这个集中管理的经济政策呢，就变成一个市场经济的政策。
So that's one example of about 10 changes that seem to take place during that year.
And so 这只是一个一个例子，说明在那一年当中有许许多多的这种重要影响的一些改变。
There was a question here.
Uh-huh. 问题是说这他那么 Scoble 教授写这本书的目的是什么？他想要希望人知道些什么东西？
I should say very simply that I wrote the book as a promise to my wife. So that was my major goal.
我的最主要的目的之一就是，那是因为我向我的太太是一个承诺。
In fact, several people this year have asked me to write another book, and I said, no way.
那么有不少人也曾经叫我再写另外一本书，但是我坚决地拒绝了。
But in writing the book and in publishing it, it made me more aware of, for example, of how Chinese culture influenced my life, even though I left China at the age of 12.
但是在写这本书的过程里面呢，让我能够体会得到说，虽然说我离开中国的时候已经才十二岁，但是中国文化却深深地影响了我的一生。
Another theme of my book is the idea that we should not be deceived by the language we speak or how we look on the outside.
在这个书的另外一个主题呢，就是说。让我们不要仅仅是因着我们语言上的一些差异，或者说是我们外貌的一些不一样的地方呢，被这些事情所蒙蔽了。
So for all my life, because of my time in China and also India and Thailand, I may look like 100% American, but I often feel like a foreign student.
所以呢，在我的一生中间，我是在中国出生长大，然后又在印度跟泰国住了很长的时间。所以我虽然说从表面上看起来像是一个美国人，但是我常常觉得我是在美国的一个外国学生。
One example of that is, I feel very annoyed because Americans are constantly trying to look young and be young.
比如说我总觉得很。美国人就是一直不断的是要让自己看得比较年轻一点，就看
It's so now that I'm an old man, you know, I should be living in China and not in America.
但是我现在成了一个老人的时候呢，我觉得我应该在中国来住，而不是在美国住。
So another question.
Hi, Professor Scarf. Very interesting story. In the past several decades, you was born, lived, and worked in China. If I ask you, just tell me one thing you want to talk to us, so what's that?
Yeah.
这个问题是说，既然你在中国有这么多的这个经历了，那么如果说我只问你，有一件事情你要告诉我们关于中国的，你要说什么？
That's a hard question.
这是难度很高的问题。
My experience in China, and also the many books that I've read since then, there's been a lot of pain in China. The Chinese people have endured terrible hardships, and I hope that in the future it will be a better life for them.
我想在我自己的经历以及我在写书的过程以及我看了很多其他的书里面给我的一个很深的感受就是说中国人民实在是过了一些很令人心痛的一些时代那么希望说而且中国人都中国人忍受了都能够坚持过的这些过了这一段比较艰苦的日子但是我的希望是说以后的日子会更好
So I feel very blessed For one thing I am here speaking to you tonight When I was young, there were times when I could have easily been killed. I was able to leave China and to find freedom and a good education. I was able to travel all over the world. I was able to do whatever I wanted. And so these freedoms, I would like other people to enjoy as well.
那我对今天晚上也能够有这个机会在这里跟各位分享我这一些的经历呢，我非常的感恩。因为在我小时候，我随时可以有很多机会，随时可以被会失去我的生命的啊，但是我却能够生存下来，不但生存下来，而且能够重新得回自由啊，能够在世界各个地方有很多的旅游的经验。那么我也希望有其他的人也有同样能够享受这种的自由。
I also would be, you know, happy to sign books for you, and also I have my Chinese chop, so I can put that in the book, and maybe then I could answer questions if you have them.
那么我会待会会很乐意的为你各位的所买的书上签名，同时我也带了我中国的图章可以在上面给你盖章，那么同时或许那时候我也可以给你再回答一些问题。
But one or two more questions here. Yes.
I don't know whether you remember that in your parents. Do they speak Mandarin or Chinese language?
Yes. My parents spoke. Mandarin with a Shandong accent. So we would. It was Shandong, not Shandong.
我父母亲所说的话呢，基本上是有山东口腔的这个这个国语普通话。
We never learned Cantonese. It was much too difficult for us.
广东话对我们来说是太困难学了。
Yeah, there was a question here, yeah.
Shenyang in 89 was pretty bare bones kind of existence. Bicycles, the few taxis, things like that. The free markets were operating, but not very strongly. I wonder if you could comment more about what life was like for you in 79, because I've had a few friends that have taught in 80, 81, and it was pretty restrictive. So I wonder if you could comment on that.
Mm-hmm. 问题是说，这位先生他1989年的时候曾经到沈阳去过，那么在那个时候沈阳的这个一般的民众的生活的水准还是相当的相当的有限的，那么满路上都是脚踏车，那么只有很少数的汽车在路上。那么所以他的问题是说，可不可以请Scoble教授讲讲1979年那个时候的生活的这个情形
？So there were two big problems in 1979 living in Tianjin.And they were the same problems that every Chinese person in Tianjin also faced.
在1979年的在天津的生活呢，基本上有两个最困难的问题。
So the first problem were restrictions. Like even going to Beijing, we had to go to public security, give them our passport, get a visa for Beijing, And then with that, we go buy our train ticket one way to Beijing. And then Beijing, we had to get a passport and a visa to go back to Tianjin. Just a simple trip of 100 kilometers took a week to prepare for.
第一个就是在行动上的一些限制。 那么譬如说要从天津到北京的话呢，我们要必须要用我们的护照去拿的，去公安去要去申请一个特别的许可。那有了这个许可之后，才能够买单程的票。然后到了北京，要再重新申请，再买一个单程票回到这个天津。
And every Chinese in every city had the same restrictions as we did, so they were no different.
那么这个限制是说每一个人都是每一个居民都受到这样同样的限制。
The second problem was because of the Tangshan earthquake in 1976, our city looked like it had been bombed in World War II. It was all destroyed.
那么同时呢，第二个问题就是因为1976年的唐山大地震，那么整个天津市呢，就好像是经过第二次世界大战被这个飞机轰炸之后的一些荒废的这个地方一样。
Most Chinese don't know this, but the semi-official estimates is that in the first day of the Tangshan earthquake, 250,000 people were killed from Tangshan to Tianjin.
从在唐山大震地震的第一天的非官方的统计呢，仅仅从北京到天津这一带呢，就在第一天中间就死了25万人。
So it was the living conditions, especially for our Chinese friends, was terrible.
所以那个时候，特别是对于我们这些我们的这些中国的朋友们，那当时的生活条件是非常非常的差。
Based on the introduction, Joseph made about your family history, I think your father was a great man. Can you please tell us a little bit more about your father? I'm more interested in knowing what made him to leave U.S. to such a long distance to China and stay there for a long time.
Yeah.
问题是说，跟按照刚才这个贺弟兄的这照片的介绍呢，很显然，这个Scoble的父亲呢是一个很出色的人物。那么他的问题是说，那什么东西能够促使他离开美国，离乡背井呢，去到远地远方的异地中国，而且在那里生活这么长一段时间。
My father and mother were very remarkable people. So I was very clever to choose them as my parents.
我的父母亲实在是非常出色的人，那我也是很聪明的人，因为我选择了他们做我的父母亲。
I'll tell one story about my father, which describes how he ended up in China. He was the only child of a minister, a Christian minister.
我可以说一个故事来说明为什么我父亲会到中国去，因为他本人就是一个牧师的一个独生子。
When he was a little boy, he read a book about Dr. Livingstone, a famous missionary in Africa.
当他还小的时候呢，他读到这个Livingstone这个医生的传记呢。这个Livingstone是当时呢是在非洲的一个宣教士，做医生的宣教士。
At the beginning of that story, it says that Dr. Livingstone was going to be sent to China, but he did not get permission to go to China, and instead he went to Africa.
那么在那本书的开始的时候，就说明了这个Livingstone本来的用意呢是要到中国去，但是因为他没有办法得到中国政府的允许，所以他最后呢就去了非洲。So
my father told my grandfather, he said, when I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor and go to China because Dr. Livingstone couldn't go there.
所以我的父亲呢就对我的祖父就说了，他说，当我长大以后呢，我就要做一个医生，而且我要到中国去，因为这个Dr. Livingstone 没有办法去到中国。
When my father was in college, he was a very good fencer, sword fighter. He was chosen in 1924 for the U.S. Olympic team to go to the Olympics in Paris.
我父亲在1942年的时候呢，就被这个学校里面选中了做代，
Paris.
哦，1924年的时候，
yeah.
就被在念大学的时候就被学校选中了去代表这个奥林匹克的这个击剑队。
But when he was chosen, he was also accepted by Cornell Medical School.
但是他被这个奥林匹克队选中的时候呢，他同时也被这个Cornell 这个大学呢接受了他作为这个医学院的学生。
So he said, I'm sorry, but I promised to be a missionary doctor in China, so I have to go to medical school.
所以他当时的决定就是他拒绝了奥林匹克的委员会对那个奥林匹克队的击剑队的邀请，因为他说我从小就已经立志要去做一个宣教医生。
Joseph showed you a picture of my mother and father when they were dating when they were very young。
刚才其中有一张照片就是他们在约会的时候的照片。
And My father says, I'm going to ask you to marry me, but first I have to ask you another question.
我父亲对我母亲说，我要向你求婚，但是向你求婚之前，我还必须问你另外一个问题。
If you marry me, will you go to China with me? Because I'm going to be a medical missionary.
他说，如果你嫁给我的话，你愿不愿意跟我去中国？因为我是定义要做一个医疗宣教士。
She said, "Why not?"
结果我母亲说，为什么不可以呢？
So, that's how he ended up in China.
这就是我们父母亲怎么样最后来到中国的一些个小故事。
Yeah, Harry. Yes.
Hold on.
Once a week, they had a lesson in Chinese. They didn't just go to language school and then that was it. They studied the language and the culture as long as they were there. And the other thing is, all the missionaries that I know love the Chinese. Mm-hmm. There was a special connection.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to show the love of God to the people in China.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brother Lewis 在这里有两个回应。他第一个就是说，在当时在中国的所有的这个美国区的宣教士呢，他们就不断的在学习语言，他每一个星期都要去上语言课。那么第二个就是说，他们去了中国的宣教士都非常的爱中国人，他们都要把神的爱来跟中国人来去分享。
Yeah, a Union Language School.
Hello, I'd just like to ask, you know, I can understand that your parents love the Chinese very much. And I can also feel that you love the Chinese very much.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think your love to Chinese is mostly influenced by your parents, or actually influenced by God himself, or actually influenced by the Chinese culture more?
这个问题是说到我就说到他们除了这个Scoble 教授，他父母亲他很爱中国之外呢，他也能够感受到说这个Scoble 教授自己也很爱中国。那么问题是说他之所以爱中国，是因为他因为神的关系，神在他身上的感动的关系呢，还是因为他的父母亲影响他，还是因为中国文化本身影响了他？
I feel like I'm a teacher again and I have these very intelligent students asking questions I can't answer.
我这个时候又觉得好像我在教书一样，我在教一群非常聪明的学生，问一些问题是我没有办法回答的。
So I want to say, 你问我，我问谁？I think God speaks to us in many voices. And
我想答案是说，因为神向我们说话呢，其实透过很多不同的管道途径来向我们说话。
So he speaks to us through our parents.
所以借着我们的父母亲来影响我们。
Through our Chinese friends.
也借着我们中国的一些朋友们来影响我们。
But it's important to listen.
但是最要紧的是要我们要能够听。
So I was lucky to hear these wonderful voices, and I was fortunate to be open-minded and listen.
我觉得自己是很幸运的，因为神也给我一个好像比较开明的这个心态，让我能够听见周围这些许许多多不同的这种声音。
But it's not just China. We lived in Thailand many years, and I love the Thai people. I even love the Americans.
而且不仅仅是中国人，我们在泰国也住了很多年，我也很喜欢，也很爱泰国人，我甚至于我还爱美国人呢。
I think that might be a good way to end.
好吧，那我们今天就停在这里了。OK， 好，那我们一起做个祷告，我们来结束好吗？ Our gracious Father, we thank you so much for the cloud of witnesses. Even